I was talking with a friend recently whom I see very infrequently. And as we talked, one of the things she asked me was whether what I'm experiencing in my role as pastor here was anything like what I had expected. I realized that before I could answer her question, I had to ask myself, what had I expected? I responded a few moments later with, I don't think I really knew what to expect. It reminded me of a time during my year as an exchange student in Brazil, when a Brazilian friend asked me how my actual experience in her country compared with what I had thought before I got there. She asked me with great curiosity, what did you think about Brazil before you came here? And I will admit to you here today that my immediate thought was, I hadn't really thought much at all about Brazil before I came here. I decided, though, that day to keep that to myself because it felt like it revealed what felt like a large degree of what could be considered kind of ugly American arrogance. But my next thought that day, which was also honest and which I did share with her, was this. I didn't really know what to expect. Reflecting now on my nearly 53, I think, maybe 54, years of living, I can see a pretty clear pattern whereby I enter deeply and wholeheartedly into something without necessarily having formed a crystal clear idea of what it's actually going to be like, for good or for bad. That just seems to be what I do. That's not me, by the way. Truth be told, I might more accurately say for good and for bad, because certainly there have been times when this pattern has led me into some really, really good experiences, including, among other things, my time in Brazil and my time here as your pastor. I can admit, however, that it has also led me into some experiences that have been, shall we say, less good. And some of them, I might even say, have been bad. So I can explain that later. Well, this has been my way of doing things my whole life. Is it the right way to do things? Is it the best way to do things? I don't know. As hard as it is for me to imagine, quite honestly, I do know that people exist who believe with every fiber of their being that it's better to plan ahead as thoroughly as possible and learn as much as possible ahead of time about a new adventure. As crazy as it seems to me, I do know that there are people who might bet their last dollar on the value of knowing as much as you can about what you're heading into and being as prepared as possible for whatever might come. I even know and love and respect some of those people. There might even be some of you, some of them, sitting here among us today. And so I have to ask, is all of that a better way to do things than how I've done it my whole life? Which is the right way to move through the world? Which is the best way to move through life? That's a rhetorical question. I don't need any answers right now. I actually don't think there's a right way and a wrong way. I don't think there's a one-size-fits-all good way that stands far above a million or maybe even close to 8 billion one-size-fits-one bad ways. I think we each have our own way. Because each person is a complex mixture of genes, family backgrounds, life experiences, cultural influences, and so much more. I don't think there is a single good or right way for all of us to move through the world. Except, maybe, God's way. I believe that God's way is the best way for all of us to move through life. May it be so. Amen. I am going to say a little bit more, because that's a pretty bold statement, to say that God's way is the best way for all of us to move through life. So I do want to say a little more about what I mean. Am I maybe referring to Jesus and accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior? After all, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me." Is that what I'm talking about when I say God's way is the best way? It's actually not. Am I maybe talking about the Ten Commandments, following the law God gave the ancient Israelites? Is that what I mean when I say God's way is the best way? It's not. Maybe I'm talking about referencing the Bible to help guide our decision making, using scripture to inform our choices and our path through life. Is that what I mean when I say God's way is the best way? It could be, but it is not. So what in the world do I mean when I say God's way is the best way for all of us to move through life? What I mean is the way of trust. Trust in God no matter what, above all else, in spite of all else. Trust in God's constant, steadfast presence with me, with each of us, with all of God's creation. God is with us. Oh, we're still learning. God is with us. Trust in God's desire for healing and wholeness for me, for you, for all of us, for all of God's creation. Trust in God's plan for blessing the whole world. God's way, I believe, is the best way. And God's way is the way of trust. Trust in God no matter what, above all else, in spite of all else. That is the best way. And that, I believe, is what will allow each of us and all of us together to fulfill our highest calling, to live our grandest adventure, which is for each of us and all of us to become our fullest and truest selves, healed and whole and thus blessed, so that we might be a blessing and participate in the healing and the making whole of the world around us. We see that in our story from Genesis this morning, the story of God calling Abram, calling him to a new life. God calls Abram to leave everything he knows and everyone he loves, to walk away from the land that he lives on, the language that he speaks, the relations who connect him to this place, the ancestors who anchor him in history and in that place. On the strength of nothing but my word, with nothing to go on but your faith in me, God says to Abram, as the author Rachel Srubus imagines in the book that we're reading, The Desert of Compassion, with nothing to go on but your faith in me, set out for a future you cannot imagine. You can't prepare yourself for what I will do. You can only follow my voice. That is God's way. And that is the best way, to trust God no matter what, to trust in God's constant, steadfast presence, to trust in God's desire for healing and wholeness, to trust in God's plan for blessing the whole earth. That is God's way. And that, I believe, is the best way for all of us. And we find that way. How do we find that way? We find that way, this way of trust in God, as we listen for God's Spirit whispering in our lives, assuring us in big ways and small ways that God is with us always. We find that way, this way of trust in God, as we hear God's call, beckoning us in new directions, leading us into places where healing can take place, where wholeness can be born. We find that way, this way of trust in God, as we respond to God's invitation to see more clearly and live more deeply, becoming more aware of the reality that already exists of God's blessing, and not just in our own lives, but in the world around us. And one more thing to consider. It seems to me, based on both our story of Abram this morning and our story of Jesus in the wilderness last week, that we are being shown in these scriptures and in plenty of others that we are most likely to find God's way, this way of trust in God, no matter what, this best way for moving through life and, dare I say, through death and into new life again. We're most likely to find this way of trust in God as we walk through the wilderness, as we choose to walk through the wilderness, because I believe Abram could have said no to God and rejected the new life that God was offering him. I also think Jesus could have said no to God and refused to claim his full identity as God's beloved son. And we too, when confronted with a place of wilderness in our lives, can choose to say no. Maybe not to the wilderness itself, but to the transformation it can offer us. We can choose instead to stay in a place of relative safety and comfort, perhaps moving toward a place of bitterness and hardness of heart, rather than moving toward transformation and new life. But as we choose to say yes and step into the wilderness, whatever our wilderness looks like, our place of risk and discomfort and isolation and uncertainty, maybe it's a place of deep grief or rage or pain. Maybe it's a place of shame or guilt or hurt. Maybe it's a place where we feel utterly exposed, splayed open, vulnerable beyond what we feel like we can survive. Whatever our wilderness is, as we step into it with fear and trembling, yes, usually, and with just enough courage to be open to new life, we also step closer to finding God's way, this way of trust in God. We step closer to finding a way of being in the world that allows us to trust God no matter what. We step closer to finding a way of being and moving in the world that allows us to trust God's constant, steadfast presence. We step closer to finding a way of being and moving and living in the world that allows us to trust God's desire for healing and wholeness. We step closer to finding a way of being and living and moving and dying that allows us to trust in God's plan for blessing. As we step into our wilderness with fear and trembling, yes, and with just enough courage to be open to the possibility of new life, of transformation, we step closer to finding that way of being and moving and living and dying and living again, trusting in God no matter what, above all else, in spite of all else. And that is the best way. That is God's way. That is what will allow us, each of us, and all of us together, to fulfill our highest calling, to live our grandest adventure, which is to be our fullest and truest selves, who God created us to be, healed and whole and blessed, so that we might be a blessing and participate in the healing and the making whole of all of God's world. And now, may it be so. Amen.